Thank you, choir. Two great numbers to add to our worship experience today, and I hope that you are excited to be in God's house and celebrate the resurrection. I want to share with you a message from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. I want to take you back to last Sunday. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. We had our Palm Sunday service here, and then Thursday evening we reenacted the love feast, we reenacted that last night that Jesus had with his disciples with the fellowship meal, the washing of hands and feet, and observing the bread and cup communion. And on Friday, some of you were here to watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, very graphically reminding us of all that the Lord endured as he was beaten and crucified. But the culmination of the week is today. Today is the day of hope, the day of celebration. It's Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, and we have cause to celebrate. Kay once again led an amazing sunrise service at the Platts this morning, and how good it was to be together. The sun didn't cooperate all that well with us as it was rising behind the clouds and the fog, but we were still celebrating Easter morning together. So today is the greatest day of celebration in the Christian year. Easter flowers fill the church. We wear our very best outfits. This is a new suit I got 6 months ago and wearing it for the first time today. And we love singing the songs of Easter and resurrection. Up from the grave he arose. We call it the gravy song. You know, up from the grave he arose. And he lives, and because he lives, all those great songs are so appropriate today. And so Friday was focused on death. Today we focus on hope, life, resurrection, salvation. It is the most glorious day. And I don't know about you, but I have fond memories of Easter growing up, checking out an Easter basket when I woke up in the morning, looking for hidden eggs, and then off to church before visiting family in the afternoon with, of course, another Easter egg hunt. And I grew up in the Providence Church of God, and Easter was always celebrated, of course. And it's interesting, I found in my stuff a half sheet of paper from April 6, 1980. And it was listed as the New Providence Church of God Junior Department Sunday School, and it was an order of worship. I would have been 13 years old, and listed are the opening scriptures, the songs, the prayer offering, and then a message which says Easter Sermon, S-E-R-M-A-N, by Rev. Kevin Richardson. Okay? Now, I can barely remember this. All I remember is that we decided we were going to have our own Easter service on Easter Sunday, and I must have drew the short straw because I was the one who had to preach the message. But my other classmates there, they were taking different parts of the service. And so that, I guess, was my first sermon that I preached, and it came on Easter in 1980. A few years later, I would speak again at the youth-run Easter sunrise service outside the church. And I remember that one a little better because I remember it was drizzling rain, and I remember speaking on Doubting Thomas. So wonderful memories that I have of Easter from my childhood, and I hope that you have those kinds of memories as well. The resurrection of Jesus is recorded in all four Gospels. And while there's some differing wording and so forth about the account, one thing we can agree on is that the resurrection happened. It was a clear, undeniable fact. And so today, we are going to be sharing from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, for a message entitled, Then They Remembered. Hear now the word of God from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what has happened. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. If you were to distill the message of Easter down into one sentence, it might be this: Jesus came back to life after he died so that we might live. If I were to put it into one word, it would be resurrection. And resurrection comes from the word resurge or resurgence, in the sense of coming back or renewing or rising up. In other words, Jesus Christ, who was once down, who was once buried and dead, has risen up. He has resurged. He's no longer in the tomb. He's back to life, never to die again. So my prayer for you today is that you would once again recapture the Easter miracle in all its fullness. Expectations are important. When our expectations aren't met, we become unhappy pretty quickly. When Jesus died on Good Friday, the expectation of many people died as well. They thought that Jesus was going to be the Savior for the people, that he was going to kick out the Romans, he was going to establish his kingdom. But when Jesus died on the cross and was buried, their expectations died with them. So it was with the women who headed to the tomb early Sunday morning. They're going for one reason only. They're going to embalm their friend. They're going with linens and with spices to prepare his body properly for burial. They're not going to worship and sing songs of praise. They're not on their way to a sunrise service. They weren't real excited about the future. Their world had collapsed before them. And with Jesus' death went their expectations and their hope. And now it's time to complete the task. It's time to anoint the body and move on. And as they walked in the darkness of that morning, they moved briskly to the tomb with no expectations other than to find the tomb and Jesus' body in it. The first point we want to make today is this. The women are surprised when the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. They are surprised that the stone's rolled away, but also that the tomb is empty. They weren't expecting either one. In fact, they probably talked among themselves as they're getting there about how are they going to move this very heavy stone that had been rolled into place in the entrance of the tomb. How are they going to be able to get into the tomb to do the task that they were called to do? But not only was the stone rolled away, but the tomb was empty. Verse 3 clearly says they did not find the body of Jesus. Now, I have always tried to wonder what I would have thought that morning if I was there. If my heart was burdened with sorrow and loss, and I expected to find a body, and then there was none, what would my reaction have been? Would I have been disappointed? Someone has moved the body, now I have to find a body so I can complete this task. I mean, let's face it, the women are there to embalm a friend. The last thing on their mind that day was resurrection. Yes, the stone was unexpectedly rolled away and the tomb is unexpectedly empty, but these women, all it really meant was their task was going to take longer. Now they had to find where the body was. The women clearly saw the stone rolled away in the empty tomb, but something more began to happen. And as they are wondering about this, the text tells us that two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Undoubtedly angels. In their fright, they bowed down and worshiped them, but these angels were there for a purpose, and that was to deliver a message. And in verse 5, they speak, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you," they said, "when he was still with you in Galilee." The next point we want to make today is this. The women heard the angels' words. Notice I said heard, not necessarily understood. They heard the angels' words. They're still sort of dumbfounded by all this. It's early in the morning. They are in the midst of grieving, and now angels are talking to them. But what they have to say is the heart of Easter. Jesus is not among the dead. He's alive. He is living. He is risen. If you're like me, you probably have selective hearing. I hear lots of things, but I don't always listen. I don't always understand. And I believe these women, they heard the words, "He is risen," but I'm not sure they understood. Whenever I officiate a funeral, I'm determined to share the hope of the resurrection in the gospel message. I like to share the story of salvation. I've done that many times. And I think people want to hear. And I do think they hear. But they don't understand. They don't really listen. Why? Because they are grieving. They're overwhelmed with sorrow. And so it's so easy when we're overwhelmed with sorrow to not hear everything fully or completely or not truly understand what is being said to us. I believe they heard the words, but they hadn't yet believed. And we who look back on the Easter miracle from this side of the resurrection wonder, well, how could they not believe? How could they not believe? I mean, the tomb is empty and angels are speaking to you and Jesus had said the very same words to you. Why can you not believe? Why was it so hard for people why was it so hard for the women to accept the message that he is risen? Why is it so hard for people at a funeral to accept the good news that Christ died for them, rose again to be their Savior and Lord? Death and disappointment, unrealized expectations, overwhelming grief, they can keep us from the truth. We hear, and yet we struggle to believe. The angels then, in verse 7, shared the very words that Jesus had shared with these women. "Remember how he told you," they said, "while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." And verse 8 says, "Then they remembered his words." Then they remembered his words. The point we want to make is this. When the angels shared the very words of Jesus, then they remembered. And the point is this. The women remembered then what Jesus had told them. I believe they had heard those words maybe years before from Jesus. And they were stuck in the recesses of their mind. But when the angels spoke those words, the very words of Jesus, it triggered something in the minds of these women. And it says, then they remembered. Oh, yes, I do remember Jesus telling us that. Our memories are funny, are they not? I often make the point at a funeral that God gives us the gift of memory when someone passes away. And the gift of memory allows us to recall conversations and stories and experiences we've had and memories of the loved one that are often kind of in the recesses of our mind but seem to come out in those times of mourning and grief. Memories are funny. I can remember some things very well, but other things not well at all. I can remember insignificant trivia and sports facts. I can remember Bible verses and moments where God broke through in my life. But my wife, she can remember the day our children took their first steps, or the day they ate their first bite of cereal. She can remember who gave us what gift at our wedding. She can remember how much she paid for her first car. We can remember different things because we're wired differently. And together we remember holidays and family vacations, but often the days in between those special moments get lost in our memory. And I suspect those words that Jesus had shared with these women got lost in their memories, in the days in between. Our memories are triggered by sights and sounds and smells and tastes, but even the words, those unique phrases we attribute to someone, can trigger our memories when we hear them again. I can remember growing up that my father went to work every day carrying a black metal lunchbox. You don't see them anymore. But you know what? When I see one, it takes me back to the days as a kid where I watched my father go off to work every day carrying his black metal lunchbox. It took the exact words of Jesus to trigger the memory of these grieving women. And notice what the angel said. "Remember the words he told you when you were with him in Galilee." Again, probably stuck in the recesses of their mind until they heard those words again. From Luke's account, we assume that seeing and hearing would be enough to convince these women that Jesus was risen. And verse 9 tells us they came back from the tomb and they told the 11 all the things that had happened, how they'd gone to the tomb, how the stone was rolled away, how they entered in and Jesus' body wasn't there, and how the angels had talked to them and told them that he is risen. The point is simply this: they returned to tell the disciples. They didn't keep this news to themselves. They didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't dismiss the experience. They genuinely believed that Christ was risen by seeing, by hearing, and then remembering the words of Jesus. The tragedy, of course, is that the disciples didn't believe him, thought they were crazy. And Peter and John had to go and see for themselves, one of the other gospels tell us. It would take more than the testimony of the women to convince these disciples that Jesus was risen. In fact, he would have to appear to them several times. Several times. And Thomas, he would have to appear specifically for Thomas so that he could believe. Thomas wouldn't even believe the testimony of his fellow disciples. He had to see for himself. And finally he did, and he believed. And then Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Friends, if you believe today, you are blessed. You are blessed. Do you believe? Friends, the miracle of Easter is Jesus' victory over the grave. He defeated death. The tomb couldn't hold him. He was the victor. Satan thought he had won on Good Friday. And if you watched the movie here Friday night, you could see how Satan was gloating and beaming, thinking that he had won the victory. But there was a Sunday morning miracle coming. And Jesus' victory is our hope. If Jesus doesn't rise from the grave, our faith is useless. We live without hope. But because he is risen, we know that he alone has won. He has overcome death. And through him, we have a way home, a way to heaven. Easter is our hope. Jesus' life, his death, and resurrection are the cornerstone of our faith. Wilbur Smith says the central tenet of the church is Christ's resurrection. Robertson Nicol writes, "The empty tomb of Christ has been the cradle of the church." And Michael Green, in his book, Man Alive, states, "Without faith in the resurrection, there would be no Christian faith at all. The Christian church would have never begun." You see, friends, our faith rises and falls on the truth of the resurrection. If we believe in the resurrection, we have hope. The Apostle Paul said it this way: if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. The good news, the hope of our faith, is that Jesus Christ is risen, and thanks be to God that he is, because he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I believe in a resurrection. I believe that Jesus' resurrection is a fact well documented with far too many witnesses for us to discount in any way. And I also believe that Jesus' resurrection is our hope. Because you see, on Easter, Jesus not only moved his stone, but he moved your stone and my stone as well. That we have a way to eternity with him because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross and what he promised through his resurrection. He is risen so that we can rise again and live with him forever. Friends, it is that hope, it is the hope of the resurrection that encourages me when things aren't going well in my life. What is it that gives a widow courage as she stands beside a fresh grave? What is the ultimate hope of the cripple, the amputee, the abused, the burn victim? How can the parents of a brain-damaged or physically handicapped child keep from living their entire lives totally and completely depressed? Why would anyone who is blind or deaf or paralyzed be encouraged when they think of the life beyond? How can we see past the martyrdom of some helpless hostage or devoted missionary? Where do the thoughts of a young couple go when they finally recover from the grief of losing their baby? When a family receives the tragic news that a little daughter was found dead, or their dad was killed in a plane crash, or a son overdosed on drugs, what single truth becomes their whole focus? What is the final answer to pain and senility and insanity and terminal diseases and sudden calamities and fatal accidents? Friends, it is the hope of the resurrection. That is the final answer to all those things. It is the hope of the resurrection. But my friends, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if He's not your Savior and Lord, you are without hope. Scripture says you are lost. You are dead in your transgressions and sins. Not physically dead, but spiritually. And that sin will lead to a grave and to hell. But Jesus wants to resurrect us. That's what Easter is about. He's moved the stone for us to come out of the grave and to live as a resurrected, beloved child of God who trusts Jesus Christ fully as Savior and Lord. Will you accept that act of love this morning and know true hope, the hope of the resurrection, and a hope of living forever with Jesus? We've sung some wonderful hymns here this morning, and we're going to sing another one here in just a moment. It's a hymn, He Lives. He Lives. And I love that hymn, and I think it's appropriate to sing it on Easter Sunday, because part of that song says, "You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." Does He live within your heart today? Is the resurrected Christ in your heart reigning as your Savior and your Lord? Have you come out of the tomb and are living in the light of a new day? Are you an Easter miracle? Or are you a Good Friday tragedy? Where are you today? Are you celebrating the good news that He is risen and that He lives within your heart? Let me challenge you as we sing this next hymn to reflect on that a little bit. And ask yourself, am I living as a miracle of Easter because of what Christ has done for me? Does He indeed live within my heart? To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You on this day that we can gather in celebration of the greatest news of all, that Christ is risen. And because He is risen, there is hope. Hope for us, no matter what we find ourselves going through. We know that there is hope because Jesus is alive, that He rose from the grave, that He rose a victor from the dark domain, as the hymns we sang reminds us. Father, we want Christ to reign in our heart as Savior and Lord. We want Him to be enthroned upon our heart as our King. So, Father, if there's one here today who hasn't taken that step of faith, I pray, Lord, instead of singing this hymn, they would simply pray and invite Christ into their life, confessing their sin, coming out of the tomb, being an Easter miracle rather than a Good Friday tragedy. Father, may we celebrate the good news today that Christ is risen, and because He lives, we can indeed face tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.